All this week on The Takeaway, we've been talking about firearms suicide in America. We've heard about the statistics and the research.
Every day, 100 people die by firearms, and around two-thirds of those are deaths by suicide.
And yesterday, we heard about the policies and approaches that are being used to lower the number of deaths.
Things like universal background checks or extreme risk protection orders. The other side is sort of a non-legislative approach where you're largely promoting safe firearm storage in the home and temporary storage away from the home during times of stress.
Today, we hear a personal story where that issue of safe gun storage is at the heart. Carol Chastain Beal lost her daughter Arlen to suicide by firearm back in the 90s.
Arlen was 18. She had just graduated from high school. In high school, she was picked as the most intelligent senior girl. She was an undergraduate, and she was ready to go to college.
But Arlen never made it to college, taking her father's rifle one day from inside their home and using it to end her own life. Carol, who, as you'll hear, has a vocal injury, sat down recently with Takeaway host Tanzina Vega and told her that in retrospect, there may have been some signs of her daughter Arlen's pain.
One week, I guess, for about a week, she practiced the piano every day, one song over and over, the theme from MASH. Now, a lot of people don't realize that the original title for the theme from MASH is Suicide Was Painless. Of course, we didn't think about that as we listened to her practice. And then one day she ate lunch with us. It was a Wednesday. And when she finished, she went to her room and came back a few minutes later and said that she was going to go visit friends. Arlen walked out the door, but she didn't go visit friends. Instead, she got in her car and drove about 3 miles out into the country. Apparently, she had already taken her dad's old hunting rifle out to the car and put it in the trunk because she didn't carry it out in front of us. And when she got into the country, she parked the car. There were no homes inside. It was by a creek. And a man driving by stopped and asked her if she needed help, and she told him no. So he went on and ran his errand. It was a dirt road that basically went nowhere. Apparently, after he left, she got out of the car, opened the trunk, got the rifle out, and she killed herself. A few hours later, the sheriff's department showed up and told us that Arlen had taken her life, and they asked my husband for his gun. He went to the closet to check because that's where he had kept it, and it was missing. He had never told Arlen the gun was there. I didn't even know it was there. It was just an old hunting rifle, and he had recently loaned it to a friend who had brought it back. It was in the gun bag or whatever with little ammunition that the friend had left over. We have no idea how Arlen even knew that the rifle was there. So we realized she had shot herself, and we looked. Eventually, we found something that it wasn't exactly a suicide note because it wasn't addressed to anyone particularly. We call it a suicide essay. And she began it by writing, "All my life I have wanted to die, and I don't know why." And the ending of it was, "I will not bite the bullet, but before the next full moon, I will swallow it." And that is what she did.
Carol, was the gun that Arlen used available to her easily, or was it in a locked compartment or storage?
It wasn't locked up. It was in the back of my husband's closet in a gun bag. We didn't know that she knew it was there. I didn't know it was there.
You said that it's difficult. You don't want to see that gun, understandably, given the role that it played in taking Arlen's life. What about guns more broadly? I mean, have you changed the way you feel about guns in this country?
Well, I've never been a strong proponent of guns I don't have a problem with guns for target shooting and that type thing, but guns aren't my favorite thing. I mean, that's putting it mildly, but I have shot a gun. I've shot an AR-15. I did that a few years ago. My husband has a gun now, and I accept that guns are necessary at times, that the problem, I think, goes much deeper than guns. I do wish that there was, I don't know, more education about guns, more ways to guarantee that they're used safely, but I really don't know what the solution is.
We are talking on this show, in particular in this segment, about guns and the role that they play in suicide. Do you think, not just having a gun locked up, but also having some sort of warning on a gun or a message to someone who might be contemplating taking their life would be one way to maybe prevent this from happening in the future?
I don't know that someone that's suicidal would take time to read a sign on a gun. I know that there are projects that go to gun stores, places that sell guns, and give the people that work there a little bit of education to help them recognize someone that may be showing up to buy a gun just to take their own life or somebody else's. One of my close friend's son did that. He was, I think, 21, and he went in a gun store, bought a gun, walked right out, stood in the parking lot next to the store, and shot himself. And from what I understand, most gun shop owners would not want to sell a gun to somebody that's potentially suicidal or homicidal. So educating at that level, I'm sure, can be helpful. I don't really think people would read a warning on a gun if they're suicidal, because their minds are not focused on extraneous details. They're focused, it's sort of a tunnel vision. But I think we've got to stop it before it reaches that point.
Carol Chastain Beal, thank you so much for your time and for sharing your story with us.
And thank you for asking questions and taking on this mission.
These are really tough stories, and we do appreciate Carol sharing hers with us. If you or someone you know might be considering suicide, please call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. For crisis support in Spanish, call 1-888-628-9454. More on this tomorrow on The Takeaway. Check out the series at thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is supported by the Joyce Foundation, investing in policies to advance racial equity and economic mobility for the next generation in the Great Lakes region. More at joycefdn.org.